Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, 2020 and 2021 has certainly been a year of disruption. Now, depending upon your viewpoint, disruption can have a positive or negative spin, but regardless of your perspective, disruption is bound to happen, and many people would agree that it is most often better to be the one doing the disruption than being disrupted themselves. So on this episode, I'm joined by Robert Mancini, who is the head of payments for America at Finastra, and Steve Murphy, who is the director of the Commercial and Enterprise Payments Advisory Service at Mercator Advisory Group, to pack a guide on how bankers can turn the tide of disruption and go from being disrupted to the disruptor. So there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Steve and Robert, it's great to have you on today's episode where we're really going to be taking a look at kind of a banker's guide to turning the tide on disruption, really from going from being disrupted to being the disruptor. But before we dive into that, Steve, we've got this fantastic chart provided to us by Mercator Advisor Group that's taking a look at some of the successful themes for commercial banking and payments in 2021 and beyond here. So perhaps you could unpack this for our audience and pull out some of the key highlights. And just a note for our audience, for those of you who are following along on paymentsjournal.com, you're going to be able to view this chart in the article below. So, Steve, if you could perhaps unpack this.
Sure, absolutely. So I'll keep this relatively brief, but each year, Mercator Advisory Service, each one of the services, in this case, commercial and enterprise payments, will develop an outlook for the coming year as it relates to trends in the industry. So this particular chart is from my version of that outlook, which was released last October. So this is a relatively digestible way to encapsulate what is and has really been happening now for a couple of years. Although from most accounts, 2020 and 21 has accelerated these trending events. So if you take the first one, which is digitalization of financial operations, that accelerated in 2020 and will continue since corporate inertia around these types of investments has been greatly challenged by the pandemic. The platform banking piece and services seems poised to gain traction given the need to gain efficiencies, the coming changeover in payment standards to ISO 20022, and the growing adoption of artificial intelligence, machine learning, the use of data. The collaboration piece between financial technology companies and financial institutions is certainly going to continue. There's a move to the cloud, so there'll be some consolidation of the fintech sector as mature fintechs and banks deal with market risk. And then finally, you've got risk management, which is kind of the ever-present priority for banks. So each of these areas has various sub-themes that will define the agenda that we write about, and we'll be doing another one soon. So buyers and suppliers who have sort of been reluctant to automate are now gaining that motivation to modernize. So banks that have solutions to enable the easy and fast transition to automate the cash cycle for clients, we believe will actually have an advantage. So we also hear that suppliers who have been resistant to cards, for example, are now more readily understanding the advantages to acceptance, the fast settlement, the greater safety in accepting virtual cards. So most of these companies understand that cash is king. DSO importance has been greatly elevated. And then, of course, you've got the ongoing payments fraud management, certainly true for payers and suppliers, especially in an environment where in all e-commerce is greatly increasing on the B2B side. So I'll leave it there and see if Robert has something to add as well.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. So, a couple of observations on the chart. I'd like to start maybe with the platform banking in the table, right? So banks, I think, have an opportunity by means of leveraging technology to counter the disruption and putting the bank in control to enable itself as the central point in the ecosystem of players, whether that be fintechs or others, to drive innovation and an agile approach. So I think that would be one key item as we look to the future. Another one is around the collaboration, and I view this really as somewhat of a game changer. And I can share some examples here, but you know, I think that banks really don't have to reinvent, right? I think they're starting from a good baseline. They don't have to reinvent customer tools and solutions, as they can integrate these proven solutions, these best-in-class products, to complete an end-to-end service for specific segments. And a good example there would be like for the small business segment, right? And I think this is the more common approach, and most of the platform-enabled innovation that we see today. Another example could be how fintechs work together in leveraging their synergies with the banks to further elevate the value proposition. So the whole 1 + 1 = 3. I think the power of the platform, you know, the cloud, the APIs combined with smart processes, other technologies driven by like machine learning or artificial intelligence, I think they offer unparalleled results. And, you know, in the end, banks can create an end-to-end digital experience for their customers and embed, you know, the fintech's value proposition within that digital process. Eventually, I think, you know, this will lead to banking as a service. I think that model will further proliferate the bank's role across financial services in many industries. If you think about like healthcare or insurance and countless others, I think this is an opportunity that banks will need to tackle promptly, as the early adopters will have the most to gain here.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate that input there. But Robert, I want to start with you, because one of the major topics that we certainly focus on a lot here on Payments Journal is obviously kind of open platforms here. So I'd love to get then your perspective of, do you really think that open platforms really live up to all the hype that's going on out there to enable banks to respond to the evolving customer needs, or maybe not so much? Curious to get your take.
So the short answer here is absolutely and positively yes. The longer answer is, I think we need to start with the evolving customer needs. So essentially how financial services are being disrupted and customer expectations continuously rising and expanding. The examples include, you know, obviously how people are buying or using services. If we look at Amazon and Uber, they've been prime examples in the recent years, but now we're seeing it across a number of other areas like car buying and other market verticals that are really coming into play. In fact, customers, you know, have come to expect somewhat of a seamless or automated end-to-end digital process where decisioning is simplified and transactions somewhat become transparent. So the payment mechanism really becomes embedded within that process. I would say that today many banks are using platforms for ease of integration into, so like what Steve mentioned earlier, like for example, fraud, compliance, and other such processes. But to me, this is just the tip of the iceberg, and platforms offer a much greater opportunity for both banks and their customers. As we look to the future of platforms and how it will be the key driver in revenue growth and deeper penetration into supporting financial services and other verticals, as I mentioned earlier, you know, healthcare and insurance being examples. In effect, you know, banks will be able to support transformations across any vertical by leveraging the platform to automate the process end to end and, in some cases, reimagining the customer experiences. So eventually, and perhaps even sooner than we think, customers will expect a seamless buying experience across all products and services. I can imagine a day in the not too distant future, whereas, you know, buying groceries, for example, is automated, leveraging technologies like a smart fridge and technology and artificial intelligence to recognize things, and a marketplace of suppliers via the platform. You know, customers are going to be able to also probably fuel up their cars without having to make a financial transaction. It'll just automate the process. Or, you know, even if you think about nonprofits and providing donations, right? So anything within your lifestyle, priorities or preferences will basically be met in just about everything that we do. Now, that might be a little bit further along, but this, I think this is where it's all kind of going in terms of customer experience. I think it's really a self-feeding process, right? So the more that you elevate the bar, then, you know, the more consumers' expectations rise, and the more that the market responds to it, and the technology adopters will start, you know, bringing that into play and outperform their competitors. So I think, you know, the key question for banks is what they should be asking themselves is, why are we not getting ahead of this versus waiting to be further disrupted?
Yeah, I certainly find that really to be interesting there, Robert. Now, if we could, I want to stick with you for this next question here. So really kind of based upon that previous answer then, you know, from your perspective, how critical does collaboration really play in innovation strategy?
So for this one, I'd like to start with, I think, a philosophy, right? And this is the Finastra philosophy and one that I share. And for me, it's kind of a matter of fact, but if you look at the marketplace, and when I say the marketplace, I'm talking about banks and fintechs and big techs and solution integrators and consultants and everyone, right? The combined ecosystem is going to be much, much, much greater than any one player. So, and I think it's a really hard point to debate, right? So our investment into a collaborative open platform, right, is accelerating innovation for our customers in a much greater pace through the ecosystem than if we invested, you know, that money in our own R&D or buying other, you know, point technologies like we see, you know, some players doing today. So it's unreasonable to think that you can continue to serve banks and their customers across the, you know, the solutions within your four walls while all of this very advanced and cool stuff is accelerating in the marketplace. So, you know, the truth is that collaboration across the ecosystem, you know, you can accelerate your value proposition and revenue growth while avoiding being disrupted. The added benefit to this model is that competition drives innovation, and elevating the bar as your solutions can more easily, and when I say your solutions, I'm really talking from the bank perspective here, can more easily be interchanged via the platform. And this is really great news for banks and for their customers, as now, you know, there's an agile and rapid methodology to respond to needs and changes as we see are increasingly occurring. And we can see this today in services that banks and their customers use. But eventually, you know, this will foster an environment where as fintechs and other players will create entirely new services and solutions that will make the existing one somewhat obsolete, right? So to take this one step further, I think banks can collaborate with fintechs and partners to help drive their own revenue streams with these partners in a true balance of trade model. So, you know, think of a bank financing fintechs in the technology sector, right, as one of their core verticals, and then enabling them to monetize their services via the platform. And perhaps even other financial institutions, whether it's through, you know, their correspondent banking services or other. And what this allows is a fintech to grow, which has a positive revenue outcome to banks, because, you know, the fintech's needs are going to grow in terms of hiring and borrowing more money to do further development. And, it also diminishes the risk for the bank because obviously there's a much greater cash flow coming in from the fintech, and it's a lot more secure, customer to be lending money to. And this is why many enterprise banks are actually seeing the value of our platform, as it helps scale across our ecosystem of 9,000 plus banks that we have, across the globe. And it creates new revenue streams and mechanisms for monetization. It is now commonplace to hear about fintechs and banks working together, as a few years ago, this was much less the case. So these concepts are taking hold much faster.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly agree with all of that. I mean, if I think back to, just over the past 16 months, all of the industry trade events and trade shows have been held remote. But one of them, the global event called Sibos, one of the keynote speakers at last year's Sibos, which was November of 2020, was Jamie Dimon. And he said in his own inimitable way, that they had about 20% of their stuff on the cloud, and he said we have to get to 100%. He didn't say when they were going to do that or exactly how, but he said we have to get to 100%. Now, of course, JP Morgan Chase can afford to go out and buy fintechs, and some of the other large institutions as well, but by and large, most of the institutions are going to be collaborating with fintechs utilizing the cloud in some way, shape, or form. And they're all seeing the advantages of that, getting to market faster, getting scale faster. Even one of the concerns over time has been, fraud and risk management. And it seems like the platform providers and the cloud providers have done a pretty good job of educating regulators so that they understand that these platforms, these cloud services are in many cases more secure than what the banks themselves have. So I'll leave it there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great observation, Steve, and you're absolutely right. I didn't mention cloud, but I think that's spot on. And we're seeing a lot of our customers actually moving to the cloud, and it's really accelerating, that collaboration, that enablement across the ecosystem of players. It's interesting because you mentioned Sibos, and I was at the last Sibos that was in person, which was in London about almost 2 years ago now, and almost kitty corner from JP Morgan was Accenture, and I had a couple of large enterprise banks come up to me and say, "It's really interesting what you guys are doing with Accenture," and I had no idea what they were talking about, so I went over to look, and I saw that Accenture had built a corporate banking solution, and they were demoing it to a bunch of banks. So they had like the use case they were using is they had like Wells Fargo and HSBC and a number of other large banks, and they were showing this corporate banking solution that they developed, which the banks were really impressed with. And I ended up finding out afterwards that they actually built it on our platform, on our Fusion platform, on our payments Fusion platform, and we had nothing to do with it. It's something that they built on their own. But that's, to answer the question about how critical is collaboration, right? I mean, that is huge, right? When you have players in the ecosystem that can use the platform to basically drive solutions in a collaborative way, without the vendor, us, being even involved in that process. So that was really exciting.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Thanks.
I know we were talking a little bit about the cloud there, but Robert, I'm curious to then get your perspective on what priorities from really a data perspective should bank optimize to elevate the consumer value proposition?
Yeah, I think it's important to start with, the value of data is paramount, right? As you hear it all the time, what is it, data's the new oil or something like that. I always mess up that quote, but yeah, so I think that as banks seek to better serve its customers, right, in a more consultative or proactive approach, right, to anticipate their needs or solve their problems and just generally better their financial lives or situation. But the reality is, data is really under-leveraged at the moment. And I can understand it because it's a difficult balance as banks have the data, right, which is often sitting in different silos. But the customers also trust that the banks protect that data and not abuse it or share it in any way. So banks must, I think, take a cautious approach to achieve those objectives to improve their customer situation while not, you know, augmenting any of the risks onto themselves or onto their customers. So I think part of the issue that we're seeing today is could be, you know, as easy as education, because when you look at it from a technology perspective, and that is rapidly advancing, right? And it, whether it's a technologist at the bank or just in general, and understanding the data security and how APIs are shared and how you can really mitigate those risks. And it's not always the same people that are running the risk management, you know, agenda at the bank. So it could be, I think, the banks just trying to catch up to the reality of things as it relates to the technology and what represents a true risk there. As a former banker myself, you know, just 3 years ago before joining Finastra, I can tell you that not all platforms are created equal and that banks do need to be careful on how their customer data is being used. Some platform players are using as end customer data to create new services and even monetize that data in one way or fashion or another. And really that's not the Finastra philosophy, and we ensure that banks maintain the control of that data and how it's used and shared, all via the bank. And you know, the fintech partners integrated into our Fusion Open platform only have access to data that the bank allows via those APIs. So I think that's really important. Our approach, you know, from a technology aspect is our platform ensures that the security of the data and avoiding any misuse, we expose data via APIs into the open platform. The bank decides how to use it, who to share it with, which is key. I think that banks must ensure, you know, that as they're driving innovation through collaboration, they got to do this without putting their business at risk. So sophisticated tools and technologies, I think, have a role to play, but banks, you know, really shouldn't overlook the benefits of starting small here. So, for example, the bank may be able to use existing data to identify that a customer is using checks for disbursements versus, you know, much more secure and efficient channels that will, you know, obviously reap better financial gains and even reduce their risks. So, there's just easy ways for banks to kind of get started here. And surprisingly, you know, we're because of the data being all siloed the way it is, it's some of the basic building blocks are not even in place at the moment. And the reality is banks have plenty of data at their fingertips and, you know, they can even pull up via their analysis statement and look from period to period at the behaviors in order to make, you know, better recommendations for their customers. And I think, you know, this all leads to the platform. So by leveraging a platform approach, you know, banks can significantly augment their value proposition. And I think they can do this by starting with three key factors, right? The first one is breaking down their silos. The second one is harnessing their existing data. And the third one would be to bring in some external data to supplement it. And so I think, you know, as we look forward and leveraging data, I think there's, you know, basic ways to get started, but those would be the three key pillars, I think, as they're building their strategy. And remember that while data is king, not all data is created equal, nor are platforms created equal. So the key is, you know, deciphering how best to use it, to your strengths.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly a great point. What we always try and point out to readers of our research is the opportunity cost that exists for those institutions that do not best utilize their data, and that data needs to be digitized and you know, utilized in the right way. So, for example, if you're not actually utilizing the data that you have, by driving it through the digital tools that are available, like AI, et cetera, for things like trade and receivables management and fraud management, you're actually at a disadvantage because your competitors who are better utilizing or transforming their data into digital uses are taking advantage of the latest generation technology, which is advancing very fast. And they'll have better operational efficiencies and better risk management. So the opportunity cost of not best utilizing the data are very large and certainly underestimated.
Excellent point. Don't have anything to add to that, Steve. I think you're right on point there.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end it on that note there. So Robert and Steve, thank you so much for taking the time for speaking to me about really kind of a banker's guide to turning the tide on disruption from being disrupted to the disruptor. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you.